Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to play on and stand strong. With Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. With Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson set to join us in about 5 minutes, and we have got a ton to get to in this last hour. This is one of those rare days where there's so much different content from the different teams, you got to figure out how to structure it. So we'll start with this. We are going to throw an American League Wild Card watch party here at the studios next Wednesday. If you would like to come, and we're going to pick 10 of you to come with guests and watch the game with us. If you would like to come, go to our Twitter page at Joe Lo and Dibs, A-N-D, Joe Lo and Dibs. Follow us on Twitter and just shoot us a video. That's really the only criteria. You can talk about what a big fan you are, why you'd like to come to the watch party. You can do something completely off the beaten path. Think of it as auditions for the real world. Do whatever you want, and we're going to pick the 10 we like the most. So hit us up on Twitter, shoot that video, go to Twitter at Joe Lo and Dibs. Fire it off. We will announce the winners probably sometime early next week.
Some good submissions already flying in, by the way. I've had a chance to look at a few of them, some creative people submitting their videos. Keep it up. The top 10 will win, and you can join us here to enjoy the A's watch party.
I don't know about us, because I don't know if I'm, you know, if you want the A's to continue to have success, I don't know, maybe one of us probably shouldn't come, and that's probably me, because I need to do some, there are certain things that I do in order for this team to win.
I had totally forgotten about
that. Great
point. Yeah.
So you need to
help me out.
What is it that you do? I think that's so unique and so helpful.
Well, every time.
Setting it up as if we haven't ragged on him for this for months.
Thank you. Exactly.
Well, it's a polite way of going about it. It's a departure from the norm, so to speak.
I'm reading the script here. Lo, tell us what you need to
do. How do you like to watch Ace games? Please.
Well, you guys been on.
That's going to be a thing.
That's on the board.
The highlight of media day is that guy's ridiculous laugh.
It's on the board. We try to mix them up in
what
this
a country,
program.
Man. Yeah. What a country.
What a country.
Anyway, take two. Lo, tell us what you do when you watch A's baseball.
Specifically, Chris Davis.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, that's why I probably won't come, because you guys know when I'm watching the game, for some reason, I just love to lay down when I'm watching the A's play. And when I do that, usually Chris, you know, hits the home run. Last night, I was watching it, laying down and watching the game. And
where are you laying down? Like on a bed of nails?
On my bed. No, on my bed. I enjoy laying down in a nice bed, soft bed. And
wearing your jammies, I'm sure?
No, not necessarily jammies. I just enjoy watching a great game. And it's usually what happened as late. He's been crushing when I do it. So,
for lack of a better term,
he's been crushing. He's been crushing.
Well, maybe we can find a way to get you a bed here. Now, would that affect the mojo? Does it need to be your specific bed in Alameda, or do you just need to be in a bed watching the A's?
Just give me a bed.
Let's get you a bed.
Yeah, so if you can work that out, I'll come watch it with you boys.
So just to be clear, we're going to have listeners win this contest, show up at a radio studio, and in the lounge outside the studio, which is actually quite cool, there's going to be food set up and you in a bed.
What?
That's what they're going to see. That's the radio station. Which I don't know why they'd expect to see anything different.
Right. And will you be naked as you are at home?
No, you want to see me naked.
Fair question.
Well, we want the mojo to keep going, correct?
Easy, guys. I just enjoy the bed, so we'll have to see. We'll watch
the game in a bed, but you will not take your clothes off, which I think is probably the most prudent course of action for you.
Absolutely.
If they're down 3-2 in the seventh, though, I would imagine that.
All right. Yeah. If
you got to be a team player,
and that's fair. If they're down it's late, he's getting naked to look. And whether we like that or not, it's for the mojo.
Yeah.
Right. You don't mess with the mojo.
Never. Absolutely not. And you know, Crush Davis is up. top eight and they need a run.
And maybe tonight, here come those draws. It's going to be like, oh, my God.
You wanna see me naked, naked, naked.
Side note, how is everyone looking on their long-term baseball prop bets? I know that you're slightly behind pace for the Yankees in the home runs.
I'm in a world of hurt, Coach.
I don't think it's not a world of hurt, is it?
I need 2+ homers a game the rest of the way. They got 6 games left. I need 13 home runs for them to break the Mariners' record. And they've really tailed off.
But if you get one game where they just go nuts, it paces you right back. You're not that bad.
I'm in trouble because most likely these games are going to be meaningless. If the Yankees can close the A's out and assure themselves of home field for the wild card game, they might go into shutdown mode. Even though they're playing their rival Boston Red Sox, I still don't know if they're going to roll out the same lineup. They might give Stanton a day off. Didi Gregorius is already out with the hand issue because he dove into home plate and he sprained his hand. So I'm in a world of hurt. I'd say it's about a 12% chance that I hit my number.
If you get some bust out 4 home run game, it changes the entire dynamic.
It
changes the entire dynamic from you. You're not in a world of hurt. You're trending to be wrong, but you're not trending to be horribly wrong. It's not like, I mean, I'm trying to think of like
Guru's take when he said that the Giants would hit.
Yeah, that's a terrible take. That is a god awful take.
Seriously,
we gotta wait for it to be official.
Oh boy,
Guru had 3 Giants hitting 20 or more homers. Will McCutchen hit his 20th.
Yeah,
he's just unfortunately not a Giant anymore.
Uh-huh. And the Giants are second to last in all of Major League Baseball with home runs. I believe they have 130 as a group, and 60 of those did not come from 3 individuals. So he's in trouble.
This is a team effort.
Oh, my God.
You, on the other hand, your big, bold prediction, you're better than 50-50 to hit it.
Crush, Matt Olson, and Matt Chapman, I said before the season, would combine for 100 homers. They are at 98. Chapman and Crush each hit home runs last night. I need 2 home runs in what amounts to 15 games because it's 5 games times 3 players. So I need 2 home runs over 15 games. Bomel, do not sit them. They need every single at bat. Now, once they get to 100, I don't give a damn what goes on over there. But get to 100. That you can't have a 6-month take go against you. You really can't. We've been watching this all season long. I'm not looking forward to that funeral.
You're right down to the wire. The only thing that can hurt you is if the A's fall out of contention to host that wild card game and then they shut down some of their lineup. That's the big thing that could hurt you.
You rest them too much and it all falls apart. What's so funny? Obviously, you saw something on TV you liked.
He's trying to catch some fly balls out of balance. He holds the glove. The ball bings him right in the eye. He's got a big ice patch on it.
So you're laughing at his pain. That's so nice of you.
Absolutely.
Great context for the radio listeners. Yeah. Just dude and game. No context that it was the Philly-Colorado game or anything like that. All right. Save the program,
yes,
JD.
Yes, please.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. JD, a busy day for you yesterday. Let's begin with Santa Clara and the Niners. You're at Shanahan's press conference. Is it going to be C.J. Beathard the rest of the way out? Ideally, is this the direction the team wants to go from now through week 17?
Yeah, absolutely. It's C.J. Beathard as long as he can take them and as long as he can stay on the field. You know, Kyle Shanahan did express confidence in Beathard, saying he's got the arm talent to make every throw, believing that Beathard has the confidence to believe that he's an NFL starter, and was a guy that was, upset in a way that Jimmy Garoppolo came in and took the spot last year and was going to be, having the job this year. He's got a little bit of that Matt McGloin-esque kind of confidence to him as a guy that, believes that he can get the job done. So, yeah, for now, that's the plan. Nick Mullins as the backup, and then the 49ers searching for basically an emergency guy that they can get up to speed for the rest of the year in case they have another injury.
Also searching for running back help in the depth situation with Matt Breida now being questionable for week 4. How does it shake out in the running back room if Breida's unable to go, John?
Yeah, and hyperextended knee and dealing with some calf issues as well. Shanahan called him questionable there, and the 49ers are in a world of hurt if he can't go. I mean, you're talking about Raheem Mostert. You're talking about more of Alfred Morris. You're talking about maybe having to call somebody up from the practice squad as well. And this is really not the week. You lose Garoppolo, but this isn't the week to have issues up and down your roster with injuries. And that was the other big takeaway on both sides of the ball. I mean, you may lose Breida. Goodwin's still banged up. Even Alfred Morris is dealing with an ankle. Mm. And then, of course, on the defensive side, Sherman's out a couple of weeks, and Tart's got that shoulder, and Adrian Colbert's got a hip. So a defense that's already in big trouble and not performing, they're banged up as well. Breida might be your number one offensive weapon. He's banged up. Really a catastrophic week three for the 49ers in more ways than just Jimmy Garoppolo being down for the year.
So what are the Niners going to do when you have three corners? Well, one of them is for sure out, and Richard Sherman. Is this someone, do they go out and bring someone in? Are you going to think about bringing in another running back? How many players are they working out? And we understand, we heard Coach talk about they brought in quarterbacks, but it seems like some other positions, they need to be working out some guys as well.
Yeah, and today will be that day at a number of positions, with the rest of the players having the day off before they hit the practice field again tomorrow, starting to gear up for the Chargers game. But yeah, it's they're in a position where they need a whole heck of a lot. And anytime you're talking about bringing in players off the street, it's just not a good situation. You know, the 49ers, I don't think were the deepest team to begin with. And now you see, once you have a few injuries, that the little depth that you have just gets immediately tested, and guys that maybe you didn't want to have play are now being forced to play, and guys that you didn't even believe were NFL players a month ago are being forced to be put into the back end of the roster. The 49ers are way off schedule with this whole thing right now, and the more guys they have to add off the street, the worse this season has the potential to become for them.
John Dickinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. What would be a reasonable expectation for the rest of the way out? It doesn't necessarily have to be a one-loss record, but to you, what would be considered a reasonable expectation for fans to possess heading into the Charger game and beyond?
I think it's that C.J. Beathard can remain healthy enough to finish the year, and that you can still continue to evaluate, you know, players at other positions. You know, and what does a guy like Dante Pettis become? You know, is Breida somebody that really can be a lead the NFL in rushing type of a running back? I think really the defense, I mean, can they get a pass rush? Can they get a stop? I mean, I look at the early part of this season on the defensive side, and they're in a spot right now where, I mean, they look like they may need wholesale changes on the defensive side at every position that isn't DeForest Buckner, Reuben Foster, Fred Warner, or Richard Sherman. I mean, that's 7 out of 11 spots on the defense that may need new players. So just having, you know, guys get healthy on that end of the ball and just try and stabilize to the point where things don't get out of hand, you know, somewhat consistently the way that they did in that first half against the Chiefs. So, no, I think it really does start with Beathard, though. If he can just be Joe average NFL quarterback as opposed to being horrific, then I think that can help them stay in some games and maybe have the opportunity to win similarly to the way they were before they got Jimmy Garoppolo last year.
John Dickinson, super reporter here on 95.7 The Game, turning our attention to the A's, JD, having them qualify for the wild card game yesterday. Bob Melvin's done such a remarkable job. Where do you have him in your manager of the year race, considering that Alex Cora and the Red Sox could become just the sixth team ever to win 110 games?
Melvin's one, and it's not even close. I mean, it's Melvin one, and then I draw a box around that if I'm writing it on a sheet of paper, and then I put a Cora and I put a Cash from the Rays below that, and that's it. I mean, it's Bob Melvin. I mean, nobody in their right mind would have picked the A's to be a playoff team, let alone a team that's going to push, you know, toward 100 victories this season. So, and yeah, maybe there's more talent there than we all gave them credit for, and we've seen that. But the job that he's done with the rotation and the fact that they basically haven't had a rotation throughout the course of the year, the job that he's done in managing a bullpen and really instilling the belief that the A's are never out of any game. I think a lot of that comes from Melvin, and the thing that changed the A's season was all the comebacks in the middle of the season, all the crazy games that they had no business winning, maybe close to 10 of them, that they won, that flipped the season, that gave them the confidence to believe that they could make a legitimate run toward the postseason. I think Melvin sets that tone, and he sets it early on that they're going to be a team that's going to play all 27 outs, and they're never out of any game. You saw it as early as opening day with this team when they came back against the Angels, won on a walk-off in extra innings, and it's something that's really carried through the entirety of the year. It's Melvin to me, and it's not even close.
John, what was your biggest takeaway yesterday at the Warriors presser?
That the Warriors are looking at this thing like it could be the last year. It was an odd vibe and really a low-key vibe. Last year was an absolute circus, and the last couple of years have been. When you look at, you know, Durant coming over 2 years ago and the team winning back-to-back or winning the championship and going for back-to-back last year. But I think maybe with LeBron James down in L.A., a lot of the national media went there with the media days being on the same day. But I just go back to Steve Kerr and Bob Myers both referencing, hey, really appreciate this season. Try and enjoy it because you never know what the future holds. And obviously with Kevin Durant's contract and his ability to leave again at the end of this year, and DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a one-year player, and Klay Thompson to be a free agent as well. I think there is an appreciation for what the Warriors have already done, but I think Bob Myers, Steve Kerr almost setting a tone of, hey, enjoy this year because runs like the Warriors have been on don't last forever. That just, to me, that was at the forefront of everything.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson with Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure, JD. Thank you so much for your time.
Sounds good.
No goodbye. Just sounds good, and then drop the mic.
Sounds good, yeah. Drop the line. That's what you get, though, when you have a polished insider like JD, a guy who you know is going to come on and just give you solid information. He doesn't have time for pleasantries.
Yeah. No, I don't blame him. He's busy. He's covering everything. So, Warriors setting the stage. Enjoy it while it lasts. You know, don't take anything for granted. Great messages. Great messages for life, not just this basketball team, let's be honest. But how much shine does that take off Chase Center next year? I mean, if they're setting us up, Steph's not going anywhere.
No.
And Draymond's got another year left, so you figure you've got at least two. If KD leaves and you bring the original three back, and then perhaps Boogie's in the fold, so you find a way to make it work with him, who knows? But that's going to take some shine off the whole Chase Center thing, is it not?
Maybe a little bit. I don't think that you need all four guys to go into the Chase Center to make the Chase Center opening special. It's going to be special anyway. It's going to be a remarkable new building in a part of the city that you know very well, a part of the city that didn't exist 20 years ago before AT&T Park. That was all warehouses, and that's where we used to go for raves in the 90s. It wasn't a place you went to go enjoy a family outing for a baseball or a basketball game. So as much as you want KD to be there, if they win the title and KD leaves, I don't think it takes really any shine away from what happens with Chase.
It's amazing what private money will do, how fast that thing has gone up. It's when it's private, that whole neighborhood's been under construction from the day I got there. There are small 5- and 6-story buildings that just take their sweet-ass time getting built, and then there's this private mecca they're building where it is just cranes everywhere working 365, 24/7. Not literally, but they're grinding down there, man. The way they've gotten that thing done, it is remarkable.
Has the infrastructure city work started yet? Or are they waiting until the arena's done for that? To your point about
all the buildings
construction
around it are going up with it. One of them's completely glassed in. As you drive past it, it's sitting there on the same block, same property. I know that they have a practice facility, and they're going to have the restaurants and everything. One of the buildings is completely glassed in. I've seen it from three sides. I haven't seen it from the backside that abuts the actual stadium. But that thing's glassed in.
Incredible.
You've got the skywalk from across the street, which connects to the Chase Center. That thing's hanging there. I mean, they haven't completely enclosed it yet, but if you haven't seen it in a while, you go by it. It's amazing how much is done. The full structure is up. Yeah. They're adding paneling and everything. I mean, it's no joke.
It'll be a destination stop for sure.
There's a million things going on down there.
Yeah.
Just again, as long as it doesn't affect too much the hospital there.
Yeah.
Great hospital. It's a personal message. But I mean, right there, they do such good work at Benioff. As long as that's not impeded, then everything should be fine. And I know that they figured all that out. You know what I was thinking about? And it's too early to get into this, but the Raiders cannot lose this game this weekend. You can't lose to Hugh Jackson and the Browns.
No way.
I get that 0-3 and it's a rebuild and Gruden's been selling that. Gruden can't lose this game.
No.
I mean, think about that. In Miami, we laid out the spot. Tough spot. And Miami's 3-0. It's not the end of the world. Denver, we laid out the spot. Week 1 against the Rams, very good team. We understood all those. I don't care about Baker Mayfield. This is Hugh Jackson coming back to Oakland, coming on your turf. I don't care if they've had 10 days to get ready. There is no way to sell that. We'll hit on that next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
A's are back in the playoffs.
Out it goes! Unbelievable! Party time at home plate.
Congratulations to the Oakland A's for clinching their first playoff berth since 2014.
Woo!
A's postseason baseball, only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Let's bring down the curtain in fashion. We're going to hit on four or five different topics here to close the show. We will begin with this. The more we're starting to think about it, how... I don't want to say must win, but the Raiders cannot lose to Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns at home this weekend, can they? Now, we laid this out in the last segment. You lose to the Rams in week one, they're a Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl favorite in Vegas. You lose to Denver in week two, good team, on the road at altitude, short week, we get it. You lose to the Dolphins in week three, 3-0, East Coast, early start time, humidity, all that. We get all the reasons. I don't think there is a reason for this one. Can you come away 0-4 and try to sell this in any way, shape, or form as anything but a complete disaster?
I don't think you can, because here's the reason why. You look at the Jets in Cleveland. They played last week, and yes, Cleveland won. But both those teams are what? Rebuilding. Both those teams have what? A rookie quarterback. Both those teams, you knew one was going to lose. It wasn't the end of the world for either one of those organizations. Here now you have a rookie quarterback come into your house, hasn't played. Raider Nation is going to have to be in full effect. You're playing against a team that everyone says if you push them, they will quit. The Cleveland Browns, they don't know how to win. Now, you're building a new team and to rebuild, because you look at the Raiders, they have one of the highest paid offensive line. You're talking about Gabe Jackson, Rodney Hudson, that three interior, three of the best in the league. Now you're playing against a team that is in a total rebuild, that is rebuilding and finally got the pieces together, and that's the Cleveland Browns. You have enough veterans on this team with a veteran quarterback, veteran receivers, been around. This is a game that you got to find a way to win. If Gruden lose this game, this would be a huge blow to Gruden's ego, to him coming back into the coaching ranks. This is a game that he cannot let Hugh Jackson come in here and outcoach him and find a way to win. This is a must-win for the Raiders.
Like, you know, Hugh has this game circled. Coming back to Oakland to stick it to the Raiders, you know, of all games, and now that they've got one on the ledger, they either get too high on themselves, which could definitely happen. It's happened to plenty of teams, not just Cleveland. Or you use this as this rallying cry, this 10 days to get ready to stick it to the Raiders, Hugh's former team. I mean, this is going to be a dangerous Cleveland game.
It's going to be a huge game for Cleveland, because now they know how to win, to Lowe's point. And we have this big over-under bet, 5.5 wins. And Lowe was right. Once a team gets a win, they get a taste for it, and they're more likely to get more victories. The best thing I had going for me was their long drought without a win, but now they've tasted it, and now they can tell themselves that they know how to win. If you're the Raiders, you look at the schedule, Joe, and over the next six games, six in a row, you don't have to leave the state of California. Your road games are at the Snub Hub against the Chargers and at Levi's against the 49ers. So you talk about spots, and the start of the season was rough, the trip to Denver, and then you have to go all the way cross country in the heat and the humidity of Miami. Those excuses are now gone. Lowe's right. You have a veteran offensive line. You've got a head coach who's supposed to be an offensive state-of-the-art guy, and your defensive coordinator is supposed to be an expert as well. So you come home for this game against a Cleveland team that is improving but hasn't arrived. This is one you got to look at as very winnable.
Yeah, and you, not just that, you look at this Raider team and you say, okay, who are we and what's our identity? Right now, if you said, what's a safe bet? The Oakland Raiders are undefeated in the first half, Joe. When Dibs, you think about what they've been able to do, it's pretty much unbelievable.
If football were just 30 minutes, we'd be talking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, against the Rams, and they played some good teams, and they found a way to jump out ahead. So this is a very critical, moment for Gruden's tenure for the Oakland Raiders. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough game, though, because Cleveland understands that there's blood in the water. And one thing you have to look at for the Raiders, that's a saving grace for Cleveland. What can't the Raiders do that you need to do to a young quarterback? Come after him and make him uncomfortable. And the Raiders, for some reason, doesn't seem to have that pass rush that's been eluding them. That's going to be a problem.
Oh, man, Baker Mayfield can move, too. He can move. When in doubt, he's just going to take off running. You can make the jokes about Cleveland. God knows I've made thousands in my day. But right now, good luck trying to convince them that they can't win the division. No joke. Cincinnati just went down to Carolina 2-0, 10 days to get ready. Everything looked, oops, Andy Dalton played like Andy Dalton. Marvin Lewis coached like Marvin Lewis. Cam Newton tried to give away the game repeatedly, and the Bengals couldn't seize. The Bengals are the Bengals. They'll be who everyone expects them to be. Baltimore beats Denver this weekend, but got shellacked on Thursday night the week before. Where? Cincinnati, of all places. Baltimore's probably a middle-of-the-road, 10-6 high-upside type team. And then there's the Steelers. 1-1-1. People believe they're going to get it together, but they might not.
They didn't
look that good last night. I mean, they went down to Tampa and won, but they almost blew that
almost
game.
Almost squandered that one to the Bucs.
If you're Hugh, you can sell a team like this that they can win this division. You can sell them this. It doesn't matter if the media and the fans believe it. They can believe it.
Let me tell you why they better believe it. They're the best team in football as far as getting takeaways. You look at you talked about last year, before the season started, Joe, you said this is one of the worst teams that couldn't get any takeaways this year. And you look at it and you said this year is going to be the regression, how you talked about this is going to be year. Look what they're able to do on defense. Watch this team take away the ball. Pittsburgh Steelers aren't going very far. Let me tell you why. Ben Roethlisberger has to score 30 or more for them to win any game. Go look at it. Besides the first game, go look at the kind of shootouts they're going to be in. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense is horrible. Let's say what it is. Let's call it what it is. I'll put that defense with Kansas City, maybe even a little worse. So because of that, I don't think that Pittsburgh is going to do much. So Cleveland, you can sell that. And those guys not only sell it, but they can believe it, that they have a great chance. And now you just got a new quarterback. And now all the guys are going to make catches for him. You saw the way you talked about how that usually works. In come Baker. You see guys catching the ball. They're filled. They're getting open. He can make the throw the longer ball. He's not afraid to let it go. He's going to take more chances. Guys are now more energetic. It's going to show you those things. So right now, without a doubt, they believe that they belong and they can win that NFC.
On the flip side, the Raiders are going to try to sell you they can beat Cleveland this weekend. It's going to be very difficult, but it should be a better game than originally anticipated. The A's, on the other hand, are going to try to sell you that they can make it rain in the playoffs. Now, whether they can remains to be seen, but they're in. Courtesy of all teams, the New York Yankees defeating the Tampa Bay Rays last night, the A's are in the playoffs. The A's are also a game and a half back of the Bombers. Now, the Bombers have six to play, three at Tampa, three at Boston. The A's, conversely, have five to play, two more at Seattle, three at Los Angeles. The Red Sox have earned home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs, courtesy of a 6-2 win over Baltimore yesterday. Expectations for the A's this season before it started? Virtually nothing. Virtually nothing. What was there to expect? You weren't going to expect they go to the playoffs. Maybe you expect you see some flashes from some up-and-coming players, and you have hope for down the line. Somehow, Bomel gets them playing at a much better rate, much quicker than many anticipated, and they're in the playoffs. Can you expect a win in the wild card round, though? Is it okay for the fan base to come out and say, you know what? This season, I'm not going to be okay with them losing this game. That's not good enough. They've played so well for so long, they should beat the Yankees in the wild card game.
I think you can expect that fairly, because you look at the situation, you've played the Yankees six times this year, and you've split 3-3. So you feel like you have some confidence going up against the Yankees. You mentioned Luis Severino, who is the A's frontline starter. He's had some problems late this year and in the postseason, and I believe the A's touched him up last time that they faced him. CC Sabathia is a little long in the tooth. J.A. Happ is their most dominant starter, but you may not see him. He's a lefty, and you're chock full of right-hand hitters. So you look at your lineup, how hot they've been. And by the way, they've been hot now for 3 months. It's not like the A's are on a three-week run where they've gone 17-2, and oh my God. This goes back to mid-June, and we are now in late September officially. So if you're the A's, an A's fan, you've seen 3.5 months of dominance. You've been the best in baseball over that 3.5 months. So you can rightly expect to win this game.
Yeah, you can. And I think that I think it'd be better if they were playing at home. Of course, everyone wants that and they can say that anywhere. I just think the moment right now, this is going to be that chance where the A's have an opportunity to start fast. I just don't think they can go on the road and have this starting off slow and letting the Yankees jump on them because of the nerves. This is a situation if they can battle and keep this thing, you know, a couple innings, I don't care if it's 0-0, two or three innings. Now you start to say, okay, I can relax because the stage is going to be big. Playoffs are, you know, you're looking at a wild card game. It's a different atmosphere. If this A's teams can start fast and hang in there early, then you'd have to give them the edge, in my opinion.
Oh, the longer the game stays tight, it's in their favor,
yes,
especially in New York.
Yes.
Look, the expectations in New York are going to have nothing to do with the A's, right? The fans are going to show up for that game and they're probably going to be late. because they're getting off Wall Street and all that other stuff. And they're going to come in, and they're going to sit down, and they're going to think that that game's a formality.
Yeah.
Just like it was last year. Severino got lit up in the first inning of that game last year against Minnesota. They yanked him after he got one stinking out. He gave up two home runs and got shelled. Thankfully, the Bombers got him back in it. So what you're going to have is a scenario where Yankee fans are going to be thinking more about Boston, because yeah, that's how the whole season is spent. They'll be thinking about the defending champion Astros, who, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the Astros knock them out last year? Didn't Verlander yes. own the Yankees? All right, so you've got everything on your mind but the A's. The A's are coming in. You'll probably think of history, Derek Jeter, Giambi, all that stuff. You won't worry about it. And the longer that game goes without right. the Yankees exerting their dominance on the A's, the more restless that place will get, because they are not yep. patient. And the second you have Matt Olson come up to the plate in the eighth, or the fifth, I should say, and it's a 1-1 game, and he busts it open with a two-run shot, suddenly the place gets quiet. They start groaning. They start booing. You see the A's dugout. Everyone's going nuts. That's how the game could play out. That's how the game could play out. You just need to figure whoever your starter is, he's got to be able to manage the first few innings.
Totally agree.
Whether it's Fiers or whether it's Edwin Jackson or whether you're going to go bullpenning, you've got to navigate Stanton, Judge, Sanchez and the rest of them with aplomb. That's it. You're able to navigate it early. The game becomes an Oakland A's game once you get through the first few innings. My opinion, I completely agree with you.
It's been 105 years since the A's have beaten the Yankees in a postseason series, back to the Philadelphia A's days. And it barely predates my baseball fanhood, Joe, 1913.
You just come on the scene.
Yeah, I just burst on the scene some days later. But you mentioned the Jeter. They lost in Game 5 in 0-0.
Jeter.
They lost in Game 5 in 0-1, both series that they rightly could have won. So not only would beating the Yankees be a huge deal for this year, it would get a big monkey off the back of the organization that hasn't gotten by the Yankees in the postseason.
Oh, man, that'd be good. For the 80-1 tickets, for everyone who played the A's 80-1 to win the World Series, when we talked about it a couple months ago, they're now 12-1. Next week, we'll give you the hedging strategy for how to approach that if you don't want to play the lottery ticket. If you do want to hedge, we'll give you the rundown on that starting next week. Improbable what they've done, considering the payroll. We are going to be throwing a watch party for this game next week. On Wednesday, here at the station, 10 of you are going to win a chance to come in with a friend, watch the game with us and some other personalities from 95.7 The Game. Food, all that good stuff. In order to win, you got to go to Twitter and find our Twitter page, which is at Joe Lowe and Dibs, A-N-D Dibs, Joe Lowe and Dibs, and send us a video. Now, the video can be about anything. There's no criteria. Sell us on why we should pick you and a friend to come, and then the beginning of next week, we will announce the winners. Simple enough. Lowe will be here. There's talk of possibly getting him a bed here, because it's only good luck when Lowe watches the A's from bed.
Yeah.
So in order to get you here, you're saying we might need to have a bed for you.
Yeah, that's not a big request. I mean, a bed, we'll watch the A's win, and let's just get this thing happen. Right? Excited about this party.
If that gets
reasonable.
A win, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's reasonable. I mean, how do you... Bowmel's a superstitious guy.
Yeah, are we talking about like a rollaway or a cot, or are you like going to need like some Posturepedic, king size, I need an extra mattress?
No, because, it's going to be
possible.
Yeah, because you want
the... It's going to want to be comfortable, I'd imagine.
Exactly, Joe, and you want the bed to be able to lift up where I can be able to watch the game, you know, comfortably. So I'm excited about it.
Oh,
really,
wow. You want the whole movable, all that stuff.
You see where I was going with it.
Yeah, that... Okay. Comfortable is one thing.
Listen,
the Cadillac of mattresses is another
thing. I need
a
down comforter and a bed ruffle.
We'll get you an A's duvet.
Nothing like that. I just
600 thread couch.
I just want to be able to kick my shoes off, land in the bed, watch Crush, hit a home run, lay with you, hang out with you guys, and the beautiful listeners, and we'll all, you and Joe, and we'll sit, we'll eat, break bread together. I'll just have my little
break
plate.
Bed. I like
break
that.
Break bread together, and I'll sit eating my food in bed. I'm excited about it. I really am. I mean, thank you guys for making this happen for me.
Do you eat meals in bed?
Oh, yeah. I could sit and just have it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got the nice little TV, the nice little tray that you have. You just put it on your lap and just kind of over your legs, rather, Joe, and just sits comfortably right there. And you can just enjoy your meal. It's really, really, and it's really nice.
How many meals a week would you say you eat in bed?
I don't know about a week, but I would say maybe once.
Do you
once
have
a
soup
week?
In bed?
Yeah.
That can be dangerous.
I could have some soup in bed. I could do soup in bed. I'm pretty.
What kind of soup works best for a soup in bed? Like maybe a chowder? And you know that was the follow-up that was coming. I don't mean to steal your material, Joe, but...
It's natural. It's natural. Someone's got to ask it.
You know.
Joe just looks like, yes, thank you. Thank
well,
you.
Honestly, I wouldn't have asked it because I'm like, how many meals does this sucker eat in bed? Like, he's going to give me some BS answer, no. But he does eat meals in bed.
Like once. It's,
this ain't college.
It's done nicely.
That's not the point. I don't care if you have a butler bringing you food in bed. You're not sick. You don't eat meals in bed.
You can.
I know you can.
Yes.
There's a lot of things you can do. I can try to rob a bank. Whether or not I will try to rob a bank is a different story.
Joseph, that's totally. That line was just totally out of
You're an adult.
Joe, what's wrong with making a little nice little dinner and sitting in your bed and having a meal right there, and you have a little tray and you could sit there and enjoy it. Bring the headrests up. You're sitting there. You're enjoying your meal. You're watching a little TV, watching the A's do what they're doing, enjoying it. It's nice.
Because billions of years of evolution have led us to a point where,
why do they
unlike
have the
animals,
why do they have them,
we
then, Joe?
Eat
why?
Meals in a refined
okay, so
manner.
Why do they have them, Joe? What are they there for? What are they made for?
Where
are
beds?
Beds
are there for sleeping.
Talking about
the
tray.
No, the trays. They're made for the bed. There's particular trays that are made for the bed, and it's not for sick people.
Sure.
It's for individuals.
Elderly,
like,
probably.
No.
Or people who are injured.
Or for serving your mom, you know, Mother's Day breakfast in bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does he look like a mom on Mother's Day?
I'm just saying that's when he can.
Trying to find, do you bathe in the sink?
Oh, Joseph.
Is that an out of bounds question?
Joseph, I can't fit in the sink.
He would if he could.
Trust me, you know you bathe your babies in the sink at times. Of course, we've all done that.
Yes.
Of course.
Right, but I don't let my baby eat in bed. My 15-year-old eats on the couch, and then I have to sweat him for the crumb count that's in daddy's seat. Not the thinking chair. You never eat in the thinking chair.
He eats in your seat?
He eats in seat, one of the seats that I will go to. It's a, it's not an ottoman, it's a chaise lounge is what it is.
Crumbs all in the
it's
couch.
It's like a wannabe sofa.
And that's where you like to watch your programming.
Yeah, a little, you know, English Premier League on a Saturday, and you go to sit down, and there's crumbs everywhere.
And
because
what do you do? You yell?
Now, first I sweep it on the floor so that my wife will eventually vacuum it up in a couple weeks.
Oh, how kind of you.
I'm trying to be honest here, Anna Kakadakis. Then
the program's an authentic program. I appreciate the honesty.
It has been.
Thank you, Joseph.
Vacuum.
And fortunately, my wife's not listening on Tuesday morning. And then I go in and issue a stern lecture about the crumbs that were on the chaise lounge. And I don't tell them where the crumbs are now, of course. I just tell them that, please don't eat in my seat unless you can eat a little bit more tidily.
Why not make them clean it up?
Because that would be too easy. It's easy just to sweep on the carpet.
How many times would you say you've had this conversation with him?
Three or four.
So it's not as if it's happened twice where it's like, here's another reminder. It's somewhat recurring.
It's happened a few times, yeah. Usually I let the first one go just because.
Reasonable.
And we're trying to encourage the little guy to eat more. So you know, I don't want to associate negative consequences with him eating.
Of course.
So you see it and you go, okay, it's Pooks. He needs to eat. It happens again. You sweep the crumbs on the floor and you say, all right, hopefully, you know, maybe you go under the chaise lounge so Chanda doesn't notice. Then it happens a third time and you say, now, son, it's the third time that, you know, you've eaten there. I don't know if it's toast or if it's whatever it is, but, you know, you're going to need to be a little bit tidier in my spot. Sweep, 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 and we're on to Cincinnati.
What's the reaction he gives you?
You know, the usual teen reaction, which is he listens for a second, then he senses we're going into lecture mode, and then it's the eye roll, which you can't help the eye roll. And luckily, they don't give me the big eye roll, because then you got to have the follow-up lecture about the eye roll. And they know that they don't want to get me started on lectures, because I can give them 5 to 10, you know, easily.
You speak for a living.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you handing out a lecture, you could easily do 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
Hitting all the bullet points.
And I will tease them, too. Up in 5 minutes, I lecture you about the eye roll, but first,
that's no
we
good.
Talk about the crumbs. And so, usually when I start to go, oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm sorry. My kids are really apologetic. They'll get me with the apology, and I'll just say, okay, you know, try to be better. I'm like, what am I going to do? Go break off a switch because your Pop-Tart crumbled on my chaise lounge? You know, you try to move beyond it.
But would you prison bet that it will or will not happen again?
Oh, coach, please.
Pay me the 7. Pay me the 5 mil.
Please. I
take
direct deposit.
And it's happening right now.
My teenagers are very conscientious, but wait for it. They're teenagers. And inherently, they're focused only on themselves. And that's what the way teenagers are and will always be. Yeah.
In your household, similar situation, do you hand out lectures in the way Dibs goes about it?
No, they eat at the table.
But
at times they tried to eat a little, try to sneak and walk around the house. That's one of the big pet peeves that they can't
Can't is what?
It. Kind of walk around the house and try to eat.
While eating.
While eating. No, that just...
Meals or snacks? Like, would they have a sandwich and walk around eating?
Yes, it's like a sandwich.
And you don't like that?
No, no, no.
Why is that?
Because crumbs on the floor. And just, you know...
Then why do you eat in a bed?
But I don't get crumbs on the... I have the tray, Joe.
It's impossible. And there's a crumb for everything.
No, but no, here's the thing. You got to realize, the spot that I live is very small. And it's a studio. So there's pretty much... not necessarily a lot of room for a bunch of tables. So there's a small little table, and then where the TV is, it's not, you can't have the TV.
It's like that apartment in Coming to America?
It's probably smaller now. It's really small.
We desire our room.
Exactly. And so, nice. So now you see why I'm eating the bed, because the TV's there in the other little room over there. I don't have it. You wouldn't be able to see the TV. So that's why I have the tray, and that's why I eat in the bed, because of the fact the room is so small.
The bedroom's also the kitchen, basically.
Yes, it's probably the size of this room, Joe. I mean, with the
you keep working hard, maybe you'll make millions one day, and you can avoid a situation like this down the road. That's going to just be a regular thing now, isn't it?
Coach, it's definitely a heavy rotation right now.
The interview with the guy, I'm watching this. This is Kawhi Leonard at the media day. I'm like, he's kind of a different dude. Not judging, but it's like, I can see why he doesn't talk more, because you can tell there's not a sense of comfort. And then there's... And then the media is like, this is going to be our number one storyline from NBA media days. We're not going to talk about the Warriors and the... you know, introducing of Boogie Cousins. We're not going to talk about LeBron with the Lakers. Yeah. We'll mention some of that stuff. Carmelo shows up in a hoodie. It gets a mention, but...
Hey, Kawhi, how you doing today? Tell us about yourself.
Is he even happy? Kawhi alone. Is that a risk? We're assuming that's a laugh.
Y'all leave him alone.
Are you sure he's not crying?
Yeah, it might be gas.
Kawhi, are you...
He's uncomfortable. Let me
never speak again.
Are you thrilled, Kawhi, to be playing in Toronto for the Raptors? If you phrase it like that, it sounds like he's crying.
Totally. Kawhi, do you miss Greg Popovich?
Kawhi, when you think about the Holocaust, how does it make you feel? He's breaking down. He's very upset. That's not a laugh.
Man, I mean, low
context again.
I'm willing to give a guy a pass for just about anything, but tell us about yourself, and you have no answer other than to just laugh extraordinarily uncomfortably. I can't give you a pass for that.
I think the laugh was him telling us about himself.
Yes,
good call. In zero words individual. Or less, tell us about yourself.
Long, Dan.
And with that, we've dragged the show to the finish line. Michael Silver will join Steiny and the Guru coming up at 11. Guru, very excited. We saw him outside during the break.
Excited.
Apparently, he had some success with Monday Night Football.
Gar.
Maybe they will lead the show with that. But that's all for us. For Diz, for Anna, for Lo, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out today, everyone. We greatly appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7. Yeah.
The A's are back in the playoffs.
Out it goes! Unbelievable! Party time at home plate!
Congratulations to the Oakland A's for clinching their first playoff berth since 2014.
Woo!
A's postseason baseball, only on 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.